This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The chips are on the tray table.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It's a crucial day for a couple of the nation's bankrupt airlines. Delta and Northwest both face deadlines in their tiffs with labor unions. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports.
A panel of arbitrators would take over the dispute between Delta and its pilots if the two sides can't reach an agreement by the end of today. Delta wants the pilots to give back $325 million a year on top of the $1 billion in pay and benefits they've already given up. Meanwhile, Northwest faces a possible strike from its pilots and flight attendants if a federal judge decides to void their labor contracts to save $1.4 billion. Delta and Northwest are among the seven so-called legacy carriers currently in bankruptcy. And many industry observers say the ongoing labor dispute could very well spell the beginning of the end. But aviation consultant Mike Boyd says not so fast.
It's carriers like Northwest and American, the legacy carriers, they're in the strongest position compared to low-cost carriers because they have stronger revenue streams.
If Northwest and Delta can reduce labor costs, Boyd says they're likely to become profitable. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
I went on Google Maps this morning and did a search for the company's stock price. It was last seen high above the Earth's surface, but coming down pretty fast. The price doubled in 2005. It has dropped 12% so far this year, 7% yesterday. The company's CFO said it's getting harder for Google to keep up its torrid growth pace. He wasn't alarmist, just cautionary. Right now, Google and every other website address in the world is in English. But today, China launches its own domain names in its own language. Lisa Napoli tells us what this might signal.
This is the boldest salvo in the ongoing war over American control of the Internet. Many take issue over the fact that the U.S. registers domain names and has refused to give up control. As of today, Chinese who want to register websites can now opt for Chinese language versions of .com and .net addresses. This is the first time a country has broken off to create its own domain name system. And technology writer Ken Cukier of The Economist says it won't be the last.
You will see countries in the Middle East having domain name systems in Arabic so that their citizens can get online and enjoy the fruits of the information society as well.
Of course, that also means it's easier for countries that do set up their own systems to better police what people there can and cannot publish or read. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
I don't know about you, but I could sure use a good cup of coffee right now. McDonald's, maybe? No, I said good coffee. Wait, what's this? McDonald's will start offering premium Java next week. It's supposed to be stronger and taste better than what they serve now. $1.20 for 12 ounces. That's 30 cents lower than the same size at Starbucks. Of course, it will still be extremely hot, so be careful, okay? Worries about Google and the U.S. economy overall put a hurtin' on Wall Street. The Dow fell 104 points, almost 1%, to 10,993. The NASDAQ dropped 25 to 2,281. The S&P 500 was down a full percent, 13 points to 1,280. Oil is trading at $61.50 a barrel today. The dollar hit a one-month low against the yen. This is Marketplace. Planners and mayors from around the country gather in Washington today to talk about increasing traffic in their cities. Say what? Oh, I left out a word. Bicycle. Here's Dan Konecki.
Investing in bicycle infrastructure makes economic sense. At least that's the message being peddled this morning at the National Bicycle Summit.
If you want companies to locate in your community, you have to offer a good quality of life. That includes streets safe enough for your kids to ride to and from school. So there's a very real economic benefit to creating that kind of environment.
That's Andy Clark, executive director of the League of American Bicyclists. Among the projects he's touting today are highway bike lanes, restored riverfronts with bike access, and trails built on abandoned railroad tracks. Last year, the Federal Transportation Department set aside up to $5 billion for bike and pedestrian projects. Now it's up to all those city planners to figure out how to spend it. I'm Dan Konecki for Marketplace,
which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Medtronic, alleviating pain, restoring health, extending life. Medtronic, on the web at Medtronic.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Today, President Bush visits India for the first time. The U.S. and India have had a rocky relationship for many years, but the two countries see an opportunity to mend fences by doing business together. Author Gurcharan Das believes India's democracy makes it an even better trading partner for the U.S. than China.
I still feel that we're not going to grow the way China has been growing. But I think today, if you asked Indians, would you like to grow 2% faster without democracy? I think nobody in India would vote for that. As my mother said the other day, she said, you know, we waited 3,000 years for this moment. Now, let's do it right.
What are some of the signs right now in India that it is building the foundation of an economic powerhouse?
I think the most striking thing about India's success is that the Chinese success has been induced by the state. In India, I would say it's almost despite the state. Governance failures are rampant in India. You know, school teachers in government schools, one out of four school teachers doesn't show up. And we can't do anything about it because the union is too powerful. What do Indians do? Well, now even the poor are pulling their kids out of government schools and putting them in these private schools, which cost $2 a month. And they get a better education. So what it is that in India, success is really a people success. And that's why, unlike China, it is India's private companies that are performing very strongly.
But China is attracting a much higher level of foreign investment than India is at this point. Why do you think that's the case?
It's really one of the puzzles for me, particularly when the rule of law and order, certainly the rule of law is there, a lot stronger. Order, maybe China has got more. Maybe India has law and China has order.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. Yeah, that could be. I've heard Bill Gates say, "Don't ask me if it's India or China. Let's talk about India and China." What do you foresee for India and China in about 20 years?
Both countries will turn middle class. And India's prosperity probably will continue because of the demographics. We are a younger country than China because of their one-child policy. And while you're on the subject of Bill Gates, I met this kid, and he said, "One day I'd like to run a computer company." So I asked him, "Where did you get this obsession with computers?" He said, "I saw it on TV. The richest man in the world, his name is Bill Gay." He thought it was one word. And he kept saying, "Bill Gay, Bill Gay." And then I knew India was changing. Because when I was young, our heroes were Nehru, Gandhi, not Bill Gates.
Gurcharan Das is the author of India Unbound. Your comments are always welcome. Email us, letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a good day.
American Public Media.
President Bush says not enough kids like... The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.